Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for your glory in the word. Help us to see it. I ask the glory to come into our eyes that we may know and see your word and your truth for what it really is. Cause that hunger to rise up on the inside of us to see only what you have for us and to deny everything else because you are so much greater and glorious. Thank you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory be to God forever. 4:34. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. This is the Lord Jesus, your Lord. He said, this is what he eats, sleeps, and breathes. They went off to get some food because they were hungry. He was probably glad to get rid of them for a while. That's a good time to fast. Everybody else has got to go off to get something to eat. Let them go. Give you an hour and a half to sit there and pray in tongues. And he said, my meat, what I'm eating. We talked about fasting last week, but my meat now that I'm eating. You may be eating food, but I'm eating something else. It's meat to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. To do Jesus' own will? To follow his own plan? No, to do the Father's will and to finish his work. Well, where's Jesus in this? You don't see him. In fact, at the end of this, and I think it might have a scripture in there, at the end of this, he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. How could he say that? It's because his will was subjugated to the Father's will to such a degree that you don't even see him. He said, have I not been with you so long and you asked me about seeing the Father? He's saying, goodness, I haven't done anything for 3 years unless the Father told me to. How are you asking to see the Father? That's you. We're going to learn to subjugate our will to his will to the point where only people see him in you. That means there's a lot of dying to do. Do you know that? Yeah. There's a lot of dying to your own will. Are you willing to die? Should have a dying line. A slaying line where people really, their will just gets it. I wish it was that easy. It's not that easy. We wish it was that easy. I will lay hands on you and you will never will to do anything other than the will of the Father ever again. Anybody says to you, just laugh at him. Say, go get a day job. Because that's just not the truth. There is a price to pay. What's the price? To make your will conform to his will. Brother, it sounds like you're telling me to die to myself. Oh, yeah. That's what it is. That's what it is. But it's better beyond that. Once you're dead, then you really live. I'm dead in Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Not me, but Christ lives in me. Glory be to God. It is my meat to do the will of him that sent me. You guys should use that as one of your confession scriptures. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and finish his work. I finish his work. Don't you want to do that? Isn't that what you want? At the end of time, don't you want to say, I did it. I completed what God put me on earth to do and I finished it. You only get one shot at this. Do we get more than one shot? What are we Hindus here? We get to come back as a monkey and an ape and a bird? No. It's over, man. You either did it and finished it. That's why I love what Jesus said here. He was bent on this. This was way before the crucifixion. He was bent. This was his meat. This is what he eats, lives, and breathes, is to do the Father's will and finish the work. Do we have any idea what the work is to be finished? It's the glory of the Lord, filling the earth as the waters cover the sea. You want to be that generation that sees that happen? Then there's a price to pay. And it's no different than the price Jesus paid. In fact, it's the same price. Glory be to God. Matthew 26. Brother, I wasn't expecting this morning. I was expecting a Father's Day message. Matthew 26, 36. Then cometh Jesus with them into the place called Gethsemane, and said unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And he said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and find them asleep, and said unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Fell asleep. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is what? Willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, and their eyes were heavy, and he left them. And went again the third time and prayed, the third time, saying the same words. Why? He was wrestling with this. He said his soul, meaning his will, his emotions, his mental capacity, was so exceedingly sorrowful unto death. And that's the key. What do you have to put to death? Not your physical body. Jesus did that. You have to put to death your soul, your willing parts, so that that part of you is subjugated to God's will. And thank God, doing that for you doesn't mean you have to go to the cross, which is what Jesus was looking at. But it's the same wrestling that we go through. You have to die to your soulish parts. They have to die and become subjugated to him. The only way to have true subjugation is to have death.
You mean like a zombie? Your soul is dead? Your mind is dead?
No, your will. Your will has to die. And sometimes that's no fun. Especially people that come out and they have something really exciting they thought they wanted to do. And I'm going to say something here. We tell our children, you know, you can do anything. And I understand where you're coming from. You're building your kids up. You're saying, oh, you're so smart. You're so good looking. You could do anything. You could do anything. You could do anything. You know, and build them up. That's what fathers should do. But we need to correct that. You can do anything that God's called you to do. Because if we train them up in that, then they won't have all of these other ideas that are well developed and defined outside of the will of God.
Well, I just want to be a doctor.
Well, maybe not called to be a doctor. Maybe God's called you to do something else. So what's got to die?
Well, I've always wanted to be a doctor. I've always wanted to be a banker.
What would then have to die if God called that person to be a missionary or something, or called him to do something else? It has to die, and you subjugate your will. Don't cry over it. It's no fun. Is death fun? No, especially this part, because it's the thing that wants to live. I want to live. I want to live. I want to live. I want to be a movie star. I want to go to Hollywood. I want everybody to know my name. I want me. I want to be the one. I want everybody to love me, see me, and talk about me, and want to be me. Well, guess what gets to die here, Mrs. Mimi? You. It really has no place at all in Christianity to be seen, to be known, to be the one. What did Jesus say? You want to be the chief among everybody? Servant of all. Servant of all. I've washed toilets before. Used to scrub Ed Devrain's toilet. But the point is, you want to be a leader, then it means you're going to be a servant. It's backwards in the kingdom of God. That's what that part of you that has to die. If you want to be the one in front of everybody, me, look at me, how great I am. Well, guess what? You're going to have to be great at making sure people get served. Amen. Look at Stephen and the other ones that they select to serve tables, to wait on tables. They picked men who were full of faith and power and the Holy Ghost to wait on tables. And then miracles were happening around the dinner table. That's the way God would have it done. Hallelujah. Right? Glory be to God. But that means you got to die to your dignity. Not me. Oh, I would never wait on tables. We call those waitresses and waiters. Please. God calls them kings and priests. This is the way kings and priests work in the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. So we got to think differently. We got to take that heightened image of ourselves and kill it. And make sure that everything that does come alive in you is coming alive through the Word of God. Amen. And then when it's the right way and it comes alive through the Word of God, you've got something. Something eternal. And now you're alive in the right way. Is this making sense?
Yes.
Glory be to God forever. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So what part is weak?
Flesh.
What part is willing? Spirit. Your spirit man. I could sit here and I could preach messages like this and your spirit man's jumping up and down going, yeah, this is exactly what I want. But then your mind's going, is it really? I don't know. That sounds difficult. And your flesh is saying, definitely not. Don't listen to that guy. Flesh got to be out of here. Flesh got a meal to eat. Flesh hungry. Feed me. But your mind's the same way. Your mind is where you break. And Jesus was breaking here. That's why he went back and prayed. And he said, what's the key? What's the answer? How did Jesus make it through this? He prayed. He prayed. He moaned. He travailed. He made sure that his mind straightened up and died. It had to die, and then he had to get God's will. And when he started to get his mind onto the glory, this, the Bible says that. He went through this because of the glory. And you have to get your mind on the prize. Same way with fasting. Hard to fast unless you have your mind on the prize. Your will is what carries you through it. Well, your will is what's going to carry you through all of this stuff and to be a servant of Christ and to come up in the body of Christ the right way. Not just the wrong way. We have a lot of people coming up the wrong way. But I think of Christian musicians and stuff. They do the same thing everybody else does. It's who you know and where you go and how you get your music into this person's hand and that person's hand and blah, blah, blah. That's exactly the way the world does it. Exactly. And then all of a sudden, how did they get so big? Must be the blessing of the Lord. And then you listen to their words on their CD and you think, there's no word in there. I think she said God three times. God help me, and something else. And this is Christianity now. It's getting it the world's way. We're not going to get this the world's way. We're going to pay God's price. We're going to get it God's way.
That's right.
Jesus could have got this the world's way. The devil tempted him with that right in the beginning. Bow to me, and I'll give you all the stuff without going to the cross. But he knew there was only one way to go. And that was by doing the Father's will. I'm telling you, you get a lot farther that way.
Yes.
It's like we want to do it our own way. If we just back up and say, no, I'm doing it God's way. I'm going to do it the Father's way. I'm going to do His will, not my own will. And all of a sudden, wham, He exalts you.
Yes.
Right? Get the pride out. Put the flesh down. Put the mind down. And let God exalt you in due time.
Yes.
He will. Does it? Promises to do it. But it's God doing it. And then nobody can kick you off your high horse at that point because God put you on it. God shut the door for Noah. He shut the door. And when God shuts the door, nobody can open it. And you know it was shut right. We might not have shut it right. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. What did Jesus say more than once? Your will be done. Your will be done. Your will be done. Do you think that had anything to do with him overcoming this temptation? He said to watch and pray and to say, your will be done. And when do you need to say it? When you don't want to do it. When do you need to say you're healed? When you don't feel healed. That's when you say, I am healed. When do you need to say you're strong? When you're weak, you say you're strong. I realize it doesn't make sense to the natural understanding, but this is God's method. Your will be done. He went back and prayed again the same thing. Well, I thought the Lord Jesus in his mighty faith, he already said, thy will be done. Why did he have to go and do it again? Because he was wrestling with this thing. It was trying to talk him out of not, if there's any way to get out of this. Couldn't I just jump through some other hoop? There was no other way, obviously. And so he said, thy will be done. Guarantee you, he said it a lot more times than just those three times, especially as he was walking through some of this stuff. Hallelujah. Go back a few chapters to Matthew 6, 9 through 10. After this manner, therefore pray you, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. My will be done. Andrew's will be done. Rich's will be done. Gary's will be done. Alan's will. Is that what he said? Your will would be done? What are you supposed to be praying every day? That God's will would be done. God's will, not my will. I may have a will. Do you have a will? Can we put a finger on it? Yeah. We all have a will, but guess what? It has to go down. It has to go down, and what's it go down to? God's will. You know what's really good, though, is the farther you go in this Christianity thing, your will starts to look a lot like his will. The more word you get, the more of his desires he puts in you, all of a sudden, you're willing the same thing he's willing. And then it's fun, and it's easy. But at the beginning, a lot of this stuff has to change. And the farther you go on with God, the tighter you have to walk with his will. We'll go on into that. Jesus said, I say only that which the Father says. Means you don't add your 2 cents. How many times do we want to do that? Make it sound prettier. Thus says the Lord, pretty, 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 and then 2 words that he told you to say, and then pretty, pretty. Well, stop that. Right? Well, the closer you walk, and we want to walk in power. We want to walk in the glory. We're going to pay the price. Well, we're going to be doing and saying and thinking and acting only his will. Not my will, not your will, his will. Glory. And his will is glory. And it gets exciting. There is nothing more pleasing to my spirit and myself is to know that I pleased God. It's the food I eat. It's the air I breathe. It's what Jesus said we're supposed to do. Isn't that great? To know whatever you do, whatever operation or thing, could be in a business thing, to know that you did what he asked you to do and you did it the right way at the right time. That just makes your day. It makes your life. This is what we should live for. So that God can look down and say, hey, there's a church. They're doing my will individually and collectively. That's how we get our pleasure. That's the food we eat. That's the spiritual food we eat, is doing and saying his will and completing his work. Hallelujah. Pray after this manner. When thou prayest. Glory be to God. After this manner, therefore, pray you, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. His will, done. His will, done. Then we can leave. Yeah. Right? His will, done. And then it's done. It's exciting. And we're doing it. We're bumping up on the edge of it. We may have to change more and reorganize the way we think about things. Why? Because it has to be in line with his will. His will, his will, his will, his will. His words, his thoughts, his actions. When he's in here in the morning as the Holy Ghost doing his thing, it's his show. It's his thing. He does it. Glory be to God. Matthew 12:48. You excited about this? You should be. Because when you feed on things like this, it's what gives you the strength to do it. When you never hear about this stuff, you never have the ability that, and the faith that comes with the word to actually enter into the things that you're supposed to be doing. But when somebody preaches on it, words come and the ability comes to complete the word. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. 48. But he answered and said unto him that told him, "Who is my mother? And who are my brethren?" And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, "Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my mother and sister and brother." Whosoever shall do the what?
Will.
The will of my Father in heaven is his sister and brother. Now think about this. Here's his family out there. How's your family going to react to something like that? They're out there. They're like, "Jesus, come out here. We got a family reunion. You come to this every year. Why aren't you out here? You're the one who's supposed to cut the turkey." And they said, "Oh, your mother and your brother out there. She's pestering us." And he said, "These are my mother and my sister and my brethren right in here, because they're the ones doing the will of my Father." You want to be a brother of Jesus? You're going to be doing his will. The will of who? The Father. Doing your own thing? Doing your own will? Going in your own way? It's a hard road to hoe. Been there, done that. Till God turns you around and you start saying, "Ooh, this is the meat I want to eat." Some of you are getting this. Some of you are going to get it. I'm believing for all of you to get it. That this is what we do. And at the end of time, you're going to be able to stand up and say, "I did it. I did it." Let's not be with the hundreds of millions of Christians who they're going to get to say, "I didn't do it. I wish I did it." Right? But it's going to cost you. What's it going to cost you? Conform your will to do this. You got to want this and hunger for this more than anything. It might be a complete change of where you thought you were going. I never wanted to start a church. Goodness. Deal with people. Who'd want to do that? But what do you do? You do whatever God tells you to do, and then you change. Guess who gets to change? You change. You change. And then you, because if he's telling you to do something, he gives you the ability to do it. But we want to make it take so long. Can't I just make it take so long to do what God told me to do? I tell you, you're just making it hurt more. Cut that thing off quick. You find the direction that God's telling you to go in quick. Whack all the other stuff off. Nope, not doing that anymore. It's right. You take a Band-Aid off. You want to peel it off slowly. Oh, you can see the skin pulling up and the hairs popping out one by one. That's painful. The scab's peeling off with it. All right, I'll stop. And it hurts. What you want to do is say, look the other way. Get one of your buddies. Say, "Yank it off." Right when I'm picking up the phone. You go, "Hello." Jesus is Lord. I'm telling you, you find out what the will of God is, get in it quick. Get in it quick. Cut those things off. Quit thinking about it. Just wear you out. Well, maybe I can do this and that. No. Maybe I get 2 degrees. You know, we're on two major. You ever see those double major people? It's like, make a decision. I'm going to be a doctor and a plumber. How you can do that? I don't know, but I got a double major. Doctory and plumbery. Find out what it is. And this is where the prayer comes in. Jesus said, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Because there's going to come temptations. Temptations that are going to take you in some other direction. And at the end of that tunnel or train track is going to be not the will of God. It's just going to be a runaround and take you that much farther away from where you're supposed to be. So what you want to do is hear from the Spirit of God. Get on that train track and get rid of all the other speed bumps.
Kill them. I thought you said speed bumps were people. You want me to kill people? Well, in your soul, sometimes you have to. I'm sorry. If they don't understand and they're just going to slow you down, then keep, you know, you can be nice to them, but keep it as a limited thing. Hi, I love you. Yes, good to see you. Got to go. Got another call. I got the call on the other phone. The president? No higher. Oh, who's higher than the president? The president's wife? Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Those who do the will of the Father, not who talk about it, who think about it, who wonder about it. Well, I would really like to do that someday. Do it. Just do it. Nike slogan. Just do it and cut off the other junk. Everybody criticize it. Tough. Criticize away. Get used to it. Should have a book of criticisms. Just hand it to them. There, go at it. I've been called all this stuff before. There's some things in there you've never thought of. Yeah. Doesn't bother me. Why? Because I'm dead to that. I'm alive unto God. I'm alive unto His will. And He's the one I want to hear say, well done. Not my mom. Not my dad. They can say overdone. I don't care what they say. You eventually want them to come in line. You want your family. You want your friends. You want this, but you don't care. In comparison to God saying, well done, and finishing His work, everything else is like, pisha. It's dung. Unless they're saying the same thing God says. You guys with me here? I know this is radical. Well, that's where you are. This is radical church. We want to hear God say, well done. And if we're gonna hear that, it means we're going to have to pay the price to hear it. This is one of the prices. Do you think anybody was encouraging Jesus to go to the cross? Nobody. He was all by Himself. Even His disciples were falling asleep on Him. Couldn't you watch Him pray for 1 hour, even after He told them to? The Lord Jesus physically stood in their face and said, please pray. Pray. You could tell He was probably completely stressed out. The guy was sweating blood. Yeah, you just look stressed out. I'm going to take a nap. Let me just help you out here. And then they couldn't even watch Him pray for 1 hour. So He did it all Himself, and that's going to be you many, 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 many times. You're going to be doing it all by yourself, and nobody's going to be looking at you. People are going to be discouraging you. People are going to be hoping you fail, telling you to fail. You going to fail? No, because I have what I say, and I doubt not in my heart what I believe. And it comes to pass, and we're going to win. We're going to have this, and it's going to be good. Hallelujah. People won't like it when you're buying their property either. Too bad. God told me to. Hallelujah. John 12:49. You got to want this more than you want anything. You got to want this more than you want to speak a piece of your mind. You're going to have to want to say only what God says. Brother, that's hard to do. I know, but you can do it. You're learning to do it, right? We didn't start out here, but we're learning how to do it. Next time you got to, in your back, say, thank God I'm healed. Don't go, my back is acting up again. And we're learning that. It's not easy. Because that's the first thing you want to say is, ow, better call the doctor plumber. He'll help you out, and he'll fix your plumbing, too. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. What did I say, John 12? Yeah. Glory be to God forever. John 12, verse 49. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. I'm not speaking of myself.
I'm speaking only what the Father told me to say. So what are you going to say if you're going to fulfill the same thing that your Lord Jesus is calling you to do? What are you going to say? Whatever you want. Whatever comes to my mind, I'm just going to spit it out. What are you looking at? No. Whatever I say, whatever comes to my mind. No, you are not. You're going to hold your tongue. You're going to discipline yourself. You're going to crucify your will that wants to just say what it wants to say. And you're going to learn how to be led to speak only what he says. Do you know your will is what helps control your tongue? So that bugger's got to die. You're going to get her done. Quickly over to John 14. Verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. We want to have glory. We want to see the works of God. Then it's not going to be your words. It's not going to be your will. It's not going to be your works. It will be God's works. And those only happen when you've subjugated your will and your words to his will and his words. And then it becomes his deeds. It becomes his church. It becomes what he's doing. Same thing here. That's why I say we're going to change whatever he tells us to change. I don't care what it is until we have his will in the earth, because that's what his job. That's what he's doing. He wants to put his glory in the earth and cover it like the waters cover the sea. That's his will, not my will. I would prefer to have a country club church. Well, we play golf on the weekends and we wear those knickers. Whatever. We're going to do what it takes to get his will done. Not my will, not your will. His will in the earth. And we're going to conform to that. That's his program. Yes. People coming in, the glory hitting them, and him straightening them out. Why do we have to straighten him out? It's his words. We don't work miracles. It's only when we're speaking his word to somebody that it changes their life. It's only to the degree that I can preach his word that it affects you the right way. I'm up here just blabbering away. You'd be like, bleh. I heard another one of those Reader's Digest sermons. No, you wouldn't. Hallelujah. And I know that. That's why on my end, you know, when I get up, I pray and believe God. This is where we're at. And I'm telling you, we're ready to go. We're right at the point of liftoff. And if we'll pay these prices to stay in line, to stay on track with the runway, we'll be on the right heading and we'll go up in the right direction.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. The words I speak to you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the work. Is God going to dwell in you in this church in a mighty way if we are out of order with his word? If we're out of order with his plan, if we're doing our own things, singing our own songs, trying to get glory to ourselves.
That was a good song I did, wasn't it? See how I did that little trill with my left pinky there? Wasn't that good? Woo!
That'll die. That's got to die. So what people see and they hear, when they hear a new song, they go, that, the Spirit of God's in that. I hear the Spirit of God in that. Amen. And they know it didn't come from you. It didn't come from me. It came from the Spirit of God. It's his will. It's his song. It's his glory. It's his words. It's his words. And his works. This is what Jesus said. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. What if he decided to start building his little colony over there on the other side of Jerusalem? People start looking like him and wearing sandals, farming. Got off track, didn't he? Because he's trying to create his kingdom on this earth. No, he's God's kingdom. God's way, God's plan, every time, every time, every time. Say every time.
Every time.
And when we learn to do that, what do we get every time? Him showing up. And I know you all want that more than everything. That's what we want, him showing up. I can't think of anything better than people just coming in here off the street, wandering in here. They don't know how they got here, and then get saved and healed. Their arm grows out. We're like, glory to God. Hallelujah. Nobody did anything. But God did it. Right? We don't need the glory, and we give him all the glory every single time. Why? Because we know it's not us. When was the last time you grew an arm out? I'm having a hard time growing mine out. I wish they were a little longer. Jesus said that. You can't even make your hair grow, can you? You can't even make your stature up a little taller. And you can't do that which is least? Why do you want to do these other things? But he can, and he will, when we get our will in line with his will. Because we know his will is to do heaven on earth. And it's exciting. We don't have to be earth creatures. We can be heaven creatures on this earth.
Hallelujah.
That's the plan. Jesus is Lord. Not my deeds, that's God's deeds. Not my words, God's words. Not my will, his will. Philippians 2:13. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Philippians 2:13. You got to see this. I'll wait for you to get there. Should be underlined with big stars next to it. Glory be to God. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So it's God that's working in you both to do, to will and to do his good pleasure. So he's working in you to get the willingness out of you. First, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. You know, and people twist that and they say, see, if I delight myself in the Lord, he'll give me all the things I desire. Scooters and race cars and motorboats in my pigeon collection. People desire that. I don't see why, but they do. Coo. No, you delight yourself in him. We delight ourselves in him, and then all of a sudden he gives you his desire for you. And you start to see yourself different. You say, well, I could see myself doing that. I never thought I'd do that before. And you're all there. You're seeing yourself do something you never thought you'd be doing, but we never thought you'd be in church on a Sunday morning enjoying it. You know, back years ago. And wanting more and being hungry for God. Kidding me? You wanted to sleep in because you're out all night Saturday. But he's, as you delight in him, he gives you more of his desire for you. Not your desire. And he's working that in you to will to do it. And then that will increases and grows to the point where it overcomes those other speed bumps. And so you stay away from those speed bumps and you go more towards his will, more towards his will, more towards his will until that's it. All you want is his will and his words and speaking his words and doing his works and you're on fire. But this is God working in you to do his will. And sometimes we don't hear it if we're all caught up in the things of the world and the news and the election and the gas prices and the economy and blah, blah, whatever else it is.
Amen.
All it does is just tank you down, more speed bumps. But as you delight yourself in the Lord, and the word delight means to wrap up with. It means to wrap up with like a rope. Three-cord rope. What's it do? What's that rope? If you're one and you wrap yourself around God, what strength do you have now? His strength. You become insignificant, really. Why? Because the strength of him is what holds you up. You've just wrapped yourself around his desire, wrapped yourself around his will, wrapped yourself around his words. Patrick, you don't seem to speak anything else but the word anymore. Well, glory be to God. So whose strength and whose words is he speaking? God's strength, God's words. What works do you end up doing? God's works.
Amen.
Delight yourself in the Lord. He gives you those desires. And then they take over. Commit yourself to the Lord. Trust also in him. He'll bring them to pass. So it's him on all counts. Just delight in him. He'll give you the desire. Then you commit yourself to him. He brings them to pass. His works. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. That's why Jesus was able to do all that stuff that seemed superhuman. When he went to the cross, he was beaten those many times. It was in the strength of God. How could that be? How could you say that? Because on the cross, Jesus said, "Why did you forsake me?" So he didn't forsake him all the way up until the cross. He was doing it in the strength of God. Right? Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. We're almost done. Glory be to God. God is working in you. He's working in you to do his will. His good pleasure. Let me read it. You got the Amplified open there? You got to hear this. Glory be to God forever. Philippians 2:13. If you don't have an Amplified, you should go buy one just for a couple of these verses. Now rip them out and give them back to your wife. No, just kidding. Hallelujah. Glory be to not in your own strength. Verse 13. This is the Amplified version of Philippians 2:13. Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure, satisfaction, and delight. Yeah, hallelujah. He's energizing you with his will to do it. I just don't will to do it. Well, delight yourself in him, not in your own strength, and he'll give you the will. He'll change your will to that's all you want anymore. Knitting just seems like a waste of time. Always did to me, but it might not to you. I'm not saying you can't knit. Goodness, you can knit and pray in tongues. You can knit, you know, and do all. Anyways, I don't know where that came from. Forgive me. But it could be anything. Insert anything in there. Everything looks like a waste of time if it doesn't have God involved in it, because you become a fanatic. You just want more of him and you want his will done. Amen. Done. Amen. Done. You become a freak. You're a done freak. We got to have it done. We're going to get her done. Somebody's got to do it. So let's commit. What does that mean? How am I going to raise my family? You're going to raise them to be radical Pentecostal freaks. That's what you're going to do. You're going to raise your kids to know the Holy Ghost. You're going to raise them to know the Word of God. And then their desires are going to get warped into God's desires. Warped into God. Yeah, warped. They're going to look like little Jesus is running around, laying hands on people, loving the glory. They love the cloud of glory. They can't get wait to get back to church and to get into the glory even more. You think God's going to change their desires? What, are they different? Don't you start talking about my kids, brother. No, are they any different than you? Why do they have to wait till they're our age? They don't have to have all this messed up desires. Well, I would like to join the military and become a sergeant. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe that is what God's calling you to do. But you should get your desires from the King of Kings. Get your directions from the top instead of yourself. Kids don't know anything. They don't. Unless God puts something on the inside of them. And then they know just as much as you do. So watch out. We're going to have kids in this church that know it. Come up to you, tap you on the shoulder. Daddy, that wasn't right. You should have stopped in that prophecy about three lines in. Yeah, I know. Sorry. Why don't you sit down? I'll do it next time. All right. They're built the same way you are. And he can put a desire in them. You watch out. You'll have these preachers growing up in your family. But I want you to go to college. My will is for you to go to college. Yeah, but Dad, I got to go preach. I got to go out. Got healing in my hands. I got to lay them on somebody's head. God's not telling me to go to school, but you are. What am I going to do? Oh, you, God. With you. I'm going to do what God said. That's what I'm telling him right now. Do what God says. And hopefully your parents are going to be in line with that and be like, yeah, do what God says. We're going to get her done. Hallelujah. Brother, I'm not going to bring my kids here anymore. You keep telling them all this stuff. Yeah, I'm going to tell them to follow God. They don't have to wait. You guys don't have to wait till you're old as we are. I wish that when I was 12 years old, I just did what God told me to do. Just do it. I wouldn't have wasted those how many ever years it was. You'd be traveling to heaven and stuff and coming back. What you guys do to church today? Oh, we hung out in heaven. Came home. Had a vision of an angel. Had a really cool sword. He let me hold it. He wouldn't let me move it around, though. He got real nervous. Oh, Jesus is Lord. Glory be to God forever. Amen. This God who's working this in you, Romans 12, 1 and 2. God's working it in you, and this is reality, people. This is reality. Everybody say, this is reality. This is reality. This isn't a made-up show. This is what God is doing today. And we have the choice. We can get on this train. We can get on board. Or we can just choose not to, like most. Well, I'm not going to say most. There's a lot of people doing it. There's a lot of people that are at the same place. But I don't have authority over them. I don't really have authority over you. But what I can do is show you that this is what we're doing. If you want to join up and do it, this is what we're doing. It's just going to get better and better. But there's a price to pay. And people that don't pay the price are going to get farther and farther behind. And you feel sorry for them, but don't sit there and wait and cry over them. Jesus said to cut them off. If your arm offends you, cut it off. That's tough. If you're an animal and you're in the woods and your foot's caught in a trap, you either get out of it or you die. Some people are caught in traps. They need to get out of it. Cut it off. Cut it off. Sometimes if you're on the wrong trail, you're on the wrong will for years, and you know you're down that road and it's the wrong road, cut it off, and it's not easy. You know how many people I've talked to that said they're caught up, they're making a certain wage because they're in a certain business, and now they hate it. They hate it. They've been in there. I'm thinking of an accountant. He hates the accounting. But I'm in this accounting field, and now my family is expecting to live in a certain capacity, and I can't get out of this job. I'm trapped. And God might be calling to do something else, but they can't because they can't sacrifice where they're at. They've been on that trail too long. Sometimes you got to cut it off. And it's not easy. Nobody likes it. What about my vacation? What about my education? Dad, you're supposed to be saving up for my education. God will pay for your education. Don't go down that trail too long. Sometimes some people can't make the change. They can't. They can't because it gets too difficult. I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes, but this is just the way it is, okay? The farther you go down the wrong road is the harder it is to cut it off and to go down the right road. God can make a way, though. God's the one who works this. God's the one who makes the desire in you in the first place. But mature that thing. Feed on it. Let that desire grow. Sometimes you do. Sometimes you do have to take a cut and pay. I think it was Ed Dufresne. He said every single time God told him to do something else, it was like, why do I have to go back to square one? When he came out of Tulsa, he was there where he was my pastor in that church. After a few years there, God told him to give the building to this other guy and to sow his plane into that ministry and leave and go somewhere else and go start a new thing over in California. He went from having like 15 employees full time to two, and they worked out of his garage with rented furniture in the house. Here's a guy who's been in the ministry all this time, but God told him to sow it and go. What was he going to do? Not my will, but yours be done. And on the other side of it, obviously God blesses him and increases him, but doesn't look right, does it? Here's somebody who's got this, you know, national ministry. Now they're doing it out of the garage. That looks like you're going backwards, brother. You're going backwards to get on the other track. Because that other track is the one you're supposed to be on. Amen. All right. You there, Romans 12? I'll try to end with this. Romans 12. Brother, I really didn't like that. You were stepping on my toes. I know. That's just the way it is. Okay? And some of us, we got a lot of toes out there. And if you came in here with your toes all tucked in, I wouldn't be stepping on them. I'm stepping on my own toes too, though. I've done plenty of this stuff. Spent plenty of money in the wrong because I wanted to do it. Man, was I into photography? You know how much stuff I had? I had the best of everything. Was it God's will? No, it was Andrew's will. But I could take a mean picture. So the point is, figure out, yield to that thing. The Bible says God is working this will on the inside of you. Figure out what it is. Right now it might just be a little on the inside of you. Well, pray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray, and he'll develop that thing, and you'll start seeing what it is, and it'll start to take shape and form, and you'll realize, believe me, you don't want to be where you are right now. You want to be where God wants you, and you want him to say, well done. And he's only going to say done if it's done. Half done, good and faithful servant. Well, sort of done. No, you don't want that. We want it well done. I don't care where you are. It can happen. You can have it, but it's not always fun. And then sometimes it takes a price, and you got to hack some things off that you really wanted. My Barbie collection. I don't know. Or whatever it is. You're running in the wrong direction, kill that thing. Just stop. Turn around and go. Go, go, go. What did Jesus say? Who did he say it to? He said people with businesses. I got this fishing boat. I got two fishing boats. I got all these nets. I got people working for me. And you're saying, come follow me. What did they do? They dropped them. Whack! Never to go back. And they followed him. What are we holding on to there? We can't do that.
That's right.
Yeah. This is a different day. No, it's not. They had to feed their family. What do you think is what Peter's wife said when he came home? He probably didn't come here. Right. You did what? Did what with your boat? I let him float. I unloosened the moors and let it go. What? That's our income. That's our retirement fund. Guess what I did, honey, with your retirement fund? Bought a video camera. We're going to publish the gospel on the TV. And you're like, what? That's my vacation money. You get like this. You do this stuff, people. You pay the price. And the price is not cheap. Nobody said it was cheap. Sometimes it means your family's going to have to get in line. They're going to be more in line than you think. We always think you're going to have a bellyache about it. Actually, you're going to be right on. Yeah, an angel came in my room last night and told me you were going to do that before you did it. Go, Dad. Right? Brother, I think I'm digging myself in a hole that's even deeper now. Romans 12, but I'm doing it too. You got to understand, I'm not just up here blabbering at you. I'm doing this, okay? I've been doing it. That drum set, I had $3,500 worth of drum equipment as a teenager, 17 years old. I didn't buy a car. Who needs a car? You can ask somebody for a ride, then they can pay for the gas and take you there. I could care less. But I had the best drum equipment around at an early age, and I was good. Man, you're just puffing yourself up. No, that guy died. Because guess what I did with it? I gave it to somebody. It was called to be in Christian music. Gave him the whole thing. He was like, what? Mics and everything. He's like, I don't know what to do with it. Play it, moron. Now, I've done it before. Other things. It's just the way you do it. This is how you live your life. What do you want? Well done. What do you want? Well done. What do you want? Well done. That's it. Now, anything else is like, nah, 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 nah. Right. Everything else is just a waste of time. Glory be to God forever. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Is a living sacrifice fun all the time? It moves. It tries to get off the altar. You're tying it down. You're trying to light the flame. It's kicking. It's screaming. It's yelling. Be better if it was a dead sacrifice, because then it wouldn't move. Probably be better eating. I don't know. But it's trying to get up. You think you're going to be able to strap some of this stuff down without it trying to get up? No. You're going to go back and forth over some of this stuff time and time again. You're going to struggle over it. Jesus did it three times that we know of. Three times he wrestled with this, trying to strap him down to the will of God. But you see all the stuff that you wanted and that you have and that you think is better than the will of God. I don't know how. We get deluded over this. We think that our great life that we have is somehow better than what God has for you. And we don't want to sacrifice it. And the other thing is we convince ourselves that it's God that gave us this, when in reality, we're the ones who gave us that. God came into my room and said, you know, what's going to be, me or the drums? And I said, do I have to choose now? And I didn't choose for many years. I should have chose then. I said, well, you're obviously better than these junky drums. But eventually I had to make that choice, and it was much harder. It would have been easy right then. I said, well, what do you want me to do, Lord? Like Paul, what do you want me to do? Why don't you go fast and pray for a while? And I'll speak to you and show you exactly what it is. And it'll be better on the other side. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This is reasonable. God's not asking you to do something that's unreasonable. This is reasonable. If he's calling you into something, it's reasonable that he asks you to sacrifice all the other stuff to get rid of it. When Elijah came to Elisha, threw his coat onto his back. Elisha knew what it meant. He's like, why are you doing that to me? Get that coat off. No, he knew what it meant. What did he do? He said, wait a minute. I got to try to get a good price for these cows over here in this field. Let me finish up the season so I can get a good income off of this crop that I'm growing. And then sell the cows and stuff and take care of my family and get all that stuff. What did he do? He burned them right then. He used the yoke. He killed his cows, his oxen, which you know they had names. They were his friends. They helped him out. They did work for him. That was it. He killed his friends and took their yoke and burned them up as an offering and followed him, left it all and followed him. That's rough, dude. 12, what was it, 12 or 10? 12 yoke oxen, I think it was 12. That is a big bunch of cows, people. Back in those days, you were the man. The women driving by in their little donkeys or whatever, they're looking at you because you got 12 yoke and you're hauling up and down this field. You're the man at that point. You got the biggest truck with the biggest wheels. And your daddy was the richest guy around. Don't tell me. You know? He gave up some stuff to do what? To go and follow this prophet guy around? Who obviously took his mantle back for several years. He didn't become the prophet until he worked with him for years and years and years and years and waited to become a servant, people. To become a servant of something greater than he could have ever had with as many lands as he could have farmed. To become a servant of something really important, something eternal. We read about it today. We read about it today. It's eternal. It's written in God's word. Hallelujah. Be not conformed to this world. Is this in your Bible? Because I feel really bad about saying this to you. So I'll just say it louder. Be not conformed to this world. Are you being conformed to this world? How much are you? I know you are. How much are you being conformed to this world? Too much. We think like the world. We act like, we look like the world. We do things like the world. Why? Because that's the way we do it in our day and age, brother. Even as a Christian. Tough. Gotta have everything this way. Gotta have everything that way. You do not. What you've gotta have is God saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. That's what you've gotta have. Is your Bible saying this? Don't be conformed to the world. Okay. But be ye transformed. So if you're being not conformed to the world, you're going to be transformed into something else, right? You're not conforming to the world's way of doing things. You're going to be transformed from that into something else. What could that possibly be? Let's read here. Be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind and your soul and your will and all those good things, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect, what? Will of God. This is it, people. This is what you're going to do. You're going to prove it. The good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Is he going to put this in the Bible if you can't obtain it? That would just be mean. He put it in there because you can do it. You can do it. But you're going to have to not be conformed to the world, which is constantly trying to conform you. You don't need to get healed. You can just take enough drugs. We'll give you other side effects. So you take drugs to get rid of those side effects. So that the doctor, plumber, could go on vacation whenever he wants to. Buy a new boat, because that's the world's system. God's system isn't that way. Get in his word. Get in his healing program. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Jesus is Lord. You're not going to be conformed to the world. And the world's constantly trying to conform you in his way. They got a new pill. They do. Watch the nightly news. It's all commercials about medications. Keep you awake and asleep at the same time. Help you to go to the bathroom and not go to the bathroom at the same time. It's amazing. It's a miracle drug. I wet myself. No, I didn't. Because I took my pill. Because the doctor plumber's helping me out. I wish I could call him up, but he's on vacation. Don't be conformed to the world. This is a big, tall order here. This is a tall order not to be conformed to the world, but you're transformed by the renewing of your mind into what? Proving the will of God. Good, good, acceptable, perfect. What do you want? Come on. I just like the will. I like the good will of God. Wouldn't you like to bust through the doors of heaven? He says, excellent. Perfect. Perfect. Look at this one. Perfect. Doop, doop, doop. That's me. Perfect. We made it. Hallelujah. It's not going to happen unless you do it God's way. You're going to prove the what? His will. Your will? No, your will's dead. Just get over it. It's dead. But I really will to do it this week. Tough. It's dead. You're going to do it God's way. His will is much better for you. It is. All right. Lest I really lay into you too much more. Let's go to Hebrews 13. Did you get anything out of that? We're going to make changes. If you think you're done changing, give me a break. None of us are done changing. We're going to have God's perfect will. Everybody say this. I am going to have God's perfect will in my life. Do you have what you say? So you should be saying that, not my will, but his be done. His will done on earth as it is in heaven. We can do it or he wouldn't have told us to. Hallelujah. Hebrews 13, verse 21. Hallelujah. Make you perfect in every good. Well, no, go back to 20. Sorry. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom glory be forever and ever. Amen. The God of peace, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, is going to make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. This is Paul praying for people. Praying for them to do what? That you would stand perfect in all the will of God, that God would work in you, that you could stand with all the rest of us, and we'll stand there and we'll say, we did it. We got her done. Isn't that what you want?
Yeah.
And what are we willing to sacrifice? We're going to have to sacrifice a living sacrifice. We're talking about paying the price to have the glory of the Lord fill the earth. It's costly. God's probably speaking to you now to do something. I don't know what it is, but I don't even want to know what it is. Things that you need to cut off and change so that you have time to put in to this. And it's not always easy, and it's almost never something you really want to do. But you got to die. You got to let it die. You got to cut it off so that you can apply yourself to the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The perfect is the most costly out of those. It's good for you to get saved. It's good for you to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. And it's good for you to come to church on Sunday morning. But it would be acceptable for you to do something else that God's called you to do. And get in the Word and pray in tongues an hour a day. Could you not pray with me 1 hour? These are acceptable things. And get in the Word and really know the Word and be hungry for the Word. And then God's perfect will starts to show up in your stomach. Starts to show up and start going, rawr, let me out. And you get hungry for that more than you're hungry for anything else. And pretty soon, you think you can have it. God shows you a way that you never thought was there before. A river in the desert that never was there before. And it just showed up. And pretty soon, you've got something. You say, I see how I can do it. I see how I can do it. I can obtain this. I can have the perfect will of God. I didn't know how I was going to do it before, but I hungered for it. I thirsted for it. And God made a way where there was none before. And now you can stand in the perfect will of God. And he'll say, well done. Done. Good and faithful servant. That's going to be us. Hallelujah. Let me pray this prayer for you. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. I pray for these people right here and people that would hear this message later on. Make them perfect in every good work to do your will, working in them that which is well-pleasing in your sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And we give you the glory. We give you the praise. I believe I receive it. I thank you that you're developing in these people right now the will and to work your good pleasure, satisfaction, and delight. Things will fall off. Things. Show them, Father, the ways to get into your perfect will and to do it. In Jesus' name, we receive it, we believe it, we thank you for it. Amen.
When shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord? Then shall we grow as we sow and reap from him.
This message has been brought to you free of charge by the Metropolitan Holy Ghost Society. More messages are available online at www.holyghostsociety.org.